Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen, and I testify, that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Now, your children, join me this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
They're not awake yet again. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Have any of you ever been on the news? Has a reporter ever come up to you and interviewed any of you? Zachy, you have?
Yeah, at the jungle.
At the jungle? Okay. I know where that is. That's pretty cool. Blake, have you?
Well, I've been in the news, not before.
Okay, they just talked about you on the news. Well, when you watch the news, they'll often talk to people who are at an event, whether it be something good or something terrible, like a fire or a crash or something. They'll ask eyewitnesses to give their report of the story. And so if I were going to ask somebody to give an eyewitness report of, let's say, the choir's performance that you just heard, what would you say? Who wants to give me a report? What? Bye? I don't know what that gives me no information. What else? Who can tell me something? Blake, what would you say? It was really good. Thank you. You were the best one on the news?
We would all agree.
That's good to know. They'll have to come back to you. Anybody else want to share your thoughts? No? You guys are all too shy to share your report. That's all right. But so that's how they do the news. They get people who saw something that was going on and they ask them questions about it. Those are the eyewitness reports that they have. And in our scripture lesson today, we heard another eyewitness report about Jesus from John the Baptist. And what John the Baptist said was, "Behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world." And he told his story about how he found out who Jesus was supposed to be, that he was the Messiah, because he saw the Spirit of the Lord come down on him when John baptized Jesus. And just like John gave his report and told people what he knew about Jesus, we're supposed to do the same thing. Most people hear about Jesus not from anything other than people telling them. Now, there are other instances of people learning about Jesus. But most people have a friend or a family member tell them about Jesus in some way. And so that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give our eyewitness report about what Jesus has done for us, how he's been in our life and affected us. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that John came and gave his report of who Jesus is so that we can know about him and know who he is. We pray that we can also continue to learn about Jesus from what other people say about him and also share what we know about Jesus with those who may not know him as well or at all. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Looks like we got more fruit snacks today. Hope everybody likes fruit snacks.
Now, I don't know if this is the same with you all, but when we get together as a family, a lot of times we just go out to eat instead of, you know, instead of cooking at home and taking all that time to, you know, cook and clean up. We'll like collectively go out. Our granddaughter Ireland loves to go to buffets. Now, a few years ago, she gave us her little girl reasoning. It was a lot funnier back then. She was a lot younger. And she said, Nanny, really, she said, you just go into this restaurant and there is no waiting. She said, your food is right there and you can pick what you want. She said, you just go up there and there it is, she said. So she loved always to go to these buffets. No waiting. Your food's right there. You can pick what you want. Well, Ireland has a real grasp on today's culture. No waiting. Everything is right there. And you can pick what you want. You know, we live in a world where spirituality has become a consumer item. Our faith has become a consumer item. Many people view our faith as a buffet. You know, some take what is warm and fuzzy and comfortable and reject what is a challenge or perceived as a little too hard. Now, as blood-bought, redeemed believers, it is important that we talk about this in January, so we're all geared up for the year. It's important that we stay focused and that we remember that our faith is a Jesus thing. Why are you sitting here in church this morning? What possibly possessed you to climb out of your warm bed on a dim, cold, and quiet morning and drive on sketchy roads and come to church again? Christmas is over. The tree is down. The ornaments are put away. Even the pine needles have pretty much worked their way out of the carpet by now. There is no big liturgical holiday coming up, none scheduled for this Sunday. And yet here you sit. I can see you. Why? What are you looking for this morning? We are a destination-obsessed culture. When was the last time you slid behind the wheel of your car without knowing exactly where it was you were going? The old tradition of a Sunday drive, well, you know, that's long gone. We are busy people with crammed and jam-packed schedules. Just look at a business card. Name, address, work phone number, home phone number, cell phone number, fax number, email address, website. We are never out of touch. Instead of meandering about, we have GPSs on our phones that tell us how to avoid traffic jams. We have so many places to go, so many appointments to keep, such a need to stay connected that our cell phones are always in our hands. We don't have time to wander around or to walk into a room and scratch our heads and say, "Now, what was I looking for?" But despite all of that, we are a people who are looking for something. And we are looking for it desperately. Everywhere I go, I see people searching for something more in their lives. some spiritual renewal, some new way of eating, some new way of dieting, some new vitamin supplement, some new drug, some new meditation technique, some new way to help us to deal with the chaos of postmodern life. Not only that, many people don't even recognize that what they are frantically searching for is the spiritual connection to God that they have lost or perhaps never had. I've had some really, really odd discussions with folks who have had no idea what they're looking for. They just know that life is empty. And they look around and go, is this all there is? I had a discussion with a fellow one time and I said, you know what you're looking for? You're looking for some external truth. External truth, he said. You know, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, you know, what you need is some external truth that you can really hang your hat on. That's what you need. You need some truth apart from yourself that is a rock that you can stand on. Well, that sounded pretty good. He wanted to know all about that. And I said, yep, you need Jesus. He's the external truth that you need. Well, I have to tell you, that particular time, that didn't turn out too well. But that is what the search for fulfillment is about. Yet there are others who are so hyper aware that they are searching for something spiritual that they drop out of the rest of their lives to be single-mindedly focused on finding it. And so they become AWOL from friends and family because they become so focused inward. For others who are pressed for time but still hopeful to find the answer for the emptiness in their soul, the search takes on that buffet look. I'm going to take this quick fix, and I'm going to take a little of this quick fix, and then with a little bit of this quick fix added, and there it is, no waiting, just like I want. Spirituality in our culture is a consumer item. You know, John and I were at a Miller Brothers Christmas party a couple of years ago, and there was a live band there. I can remember their name, but I'm not going to say it. Well, one of the wives that was sitting across from us, went over to one of the performers. I don't know why. She came back with a business card. She was so excited. Pump. She never met me, she said, and she knew all about me. She said this to her husband. She proceeded to tell him how this woman knew all about her. She knew how stressed she was. She knew how depressed she had been. And she went on and on, and I laughed because her husband said, well, of course she knew. All she had to do was look at you. She said, I don't care what you say. I'm going to call that woman to see if she can help me. And I asked her to see the card. And she handed me the card, and the woman was a tarot card reader. I excused myself and went and washed my hands. Whenever a spiritual ache twinges or an empty soul growls, there are those we know and we love who run to the store and pick up the newest hot thing on spiritual fulfillment. Or they check the internet for the newest quick fix. Unfortunately, those who really don't know what they're looking for sometimes start to collect spiritualities like other people collect stamps. Back in the 90s, there was this resurgence of interest in angels. There were angel books, angel pillows, angel towels, angel statues, angel jewelry, angel stationery, angel calendars. Preoccupation with angels had people looking for angels that were more like the genie in Aladdin than they were servants of God. I guess it was later, I can't remember exactly. Others settled for spirituality that just was kind of a sticky sweet topping they kind of slathered over the top of their lives. These people kind of filled their homes with warm and cuddly statues and wall hangings, like buying something comforting was going to replace the real thing. Some Christians even got fooled, even today, buying into a whole list of New Age practices collected from ancient rituals and pagan religions, crystals, pyramids, totems, animal spirit guides. Please don't ever tell me what your animal spirit guide is. Herbal potions, dream catchers, dream shapers. Just share this on social media and you will be blessed, but if you don't share it, you hate Jesus stuff. I never share those, by the way, and I don't hate Jesus. All promising to provide that spiritual spark that is missing in our technologically processed, time-ticking, sterile daily schedules. When Jesus turned and confronted John the Baptist's two disciples as they began following him, they were really taken back by the question he asked. What are you looking for? Jesus asked them. No parable, no gentle discipleship, really kind of an interrogation. What are you looking for? What do you want? During the course of Jesus' ministry, it would become blatantly obvious what people who followed him were looking for. As his reputation spread, there were those who crowded around him with various diseases and ailments. They wanted healing. As his popularity spread, there were the religious authorities who questioned his theology and his orthodoxy. They were looking for a fight. As his miracles increased, there were crowds and hangers-on there for the show. They were looking for entertainment. As his wisdom spread, there were seekers like the rich young ruler who tried to kind of second-guess his message. They were just looking for an easy way to heaven. As his fame increased and his power became the talk of the town, there are lots of people with many, many needs and many, many ones who followed in his wake. They were looking for the loaves and the fishes. When Jesus went off by himself in the mountains to pray, his own disciples came to him and interrupted him and said, "Everybody's looking for you." The disciples were right. Everyone is looking for Jesus. Everyone is looking for the living Spirit of God in their lives, even if they don't realize it. Jesus' bobbleheads sitting on your desk is not going to fill the void. The most lovely sentiment crocheted on a pillow is not going to cut it for you in life. Bags of crystals are not going to fulfill your need. The answer to Jesus' soul-searching question, "What are you looking for?" cannot be bought or brought home from the shopping center. Each one of us has a hole in our hearts that only Christ can fill. Now, Jesus knew there were a lot of wrong reasons as well as wrong ways for spiritual searches. Today, just like back then, the world is full of counterfeit Christs. When Jesus confronted those two would-be disciples with this deep question, "What are you looking for?" the answer he got back, now that might sound strange to us, but it was actually a very good start. "Rabbi," they said, "where are you staying?" "Teacher," they were saying, "let us join you and be your students." And Jesus responded with an invitation. "Come and see." Discovering the Spirit of God, the presence of Christ in your life, is rarely a blinding light or a burning bush. Most times, it's like waking up. Most times, it's the realization, "How did I miss this before?" None of us are alike. And we come to the realization of the reality of Christ and our need for him in different ways. But it must come for us to find fulfillment. It can be on a calm sea, and it can be on a stormy sea. Everyone is different. Which one are you? Sometimes it takes long years of sitting at the rabbi's feet before the light goes on, listening to his teaching, being around Christians before you step over that line. But you must step over. Before we can truly claim our discipleship, before we can kneel at the foot of the cross, first we must say, "Teacher, teach us." And then we can say, Jesus, save us. Is that the reason you came to church today? Did you come to continue your spiritual search today? Did you come today to grow in your commitment to God? To fulfill your lifelong mission of growing a soul? When Jesus finally asks you by name, as he will, what are you looking for? Give him the answer that he's looking for. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. We praise and worship you, Father God. But we admit that there are times when we have come to church for the wrong reasons. We have come because our parents made us come. We've come because we always did with mom and dad, no matter how old they are now. We come because it's just what we've always done. All the wrong reasons. The beginning of this year, Father God, we pray that you would teach us. That we would make for sure that we have thrown in with your Son. That indeed we are blood-bought, redeemed believers. So that we can stand in the midst of whatever will come. And say, no matter what, we're going on with God. Help us to have that resolve, that love for you. Because we know, Father God, when we come to that place, the rest of our lives will come together like a puzzle. Lord, we give you permission to do it. For we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible. Jesus the Christ. Amen.